Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday of Easter. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will reflect on our Gospel from John and talk about Jesus as our shepherd. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It's time to register early for Deer Creek Camp. The Office of Youth Ministry of the Diocese of Corpus Christi invites 7 to 17-year-olds to Deer Creek Camp, July 16 through 21st. It'll be a week of archery, kayaking, canoeing, water slides, a faith walk, ski obstacles, water towers, arts and crafts, fishing, and so much more. The camp is in the hill country along the banks of the Medina River. Individual time, air-conditioned cabin time, great food, holy mass, adoration, and reconciliation are offered throughout the week. The registration deadline is June 1st, or until camp maximum of 90 is reached. For complete information, call Heath Garcia at the Diocesan Office of Youth Ministry, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/Deer Creek Camp.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Fine, Barbara. And you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
And greetings to everyone out there in Radio Land.
That's right.
Congratulations on those preparing for graduation. I guess some are graduating already, and so congratulations to those who have finished their degrees.
And the seniors in high school who are finishing that last year and
getting
very excited. Yeah. It's a wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
Well, today our gospel is from John, so if we could listen to his word.
Okay, this is taken from the 10th chapter of St. John. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is a very visual gospel. You know, I'd read it, of course, several times before you read it, but you can envision everything that's happening. And Bishop, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you about, that it seems like on this gospel, we're backtracking a little bit because we had the resurrection, and last week, you know, Jesus appeared before the disciples, and now he's talking about the Pharisees and comparing it with when he cured the blind man. So I'm a bit confused about why this gospel is where it is.
Well, not being invited to one of the Roman congregations to help figure these things out, I can only guess, I think. But
thinking cap on.
Right. I think, you know, in many ways, it's we've been recounting the events of the resurrection, et cetera, and it's basically a call to us to follow. It's not something that, you know, you're baptized and so you don't you don't have any more responsibility, or Jesus has risen from the dead and so everything's taken care of. No, he is risen from the dead, and now we follow in our day-to-day life. So it's really a call to the church who gathers together and finds their identity through the resurrection of Jesus. Now follow him, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to follow him. We can follow him in order to be who God wants us to be. So it's really, I see it as an invitation. It's a time after all the celebration of the resurrection, it's now reminding us that we are sheep of the shepherd. We follow the shepherd. What a beautiful image. I mean, especially mm-hmm. for us priests and bishops to have that image of the good shepherd.
Right.
And so often, and of course, John Paul II wrote the letter on I Will Give You Shepherds as a really call to renew the priesthood, renew the call of the church to form good priests, priests who will be shepherds, who will give their life for their sheep. And this is really the image. You see it more and more in rectories and the offices and
right.
more images of the good shepherd. In fact, when I was just named bishop, some company, I'm not sure if they wanted my business or if I don't have any business to give them, but anyway, they sent me a very small little brass image, very modern, but very nice, of the good shepherd and the sheep following. So,
how interesting. Because you were the new shepherd of our diocese.
Right, right. So mm-hmm. it's just something that's very, very important for us to identify Christ as dying for us, rising for us, but also continuing to lead us, that it's not an event of the resurrection. It's not an event that's over and done with. It's an ongoing following Christ.
Mm-hmm. It's not a one-time going to Mass and then that's it.
That's it.
We continue in
sure,
his way.
Sure.
When you were talking about the shepherd and leading the sheep, that's not really something that we see too much in this country, because there's like collies, border collies sometimes
right.
will be leading the sheep.
Well, it's fascinating to watch,
yes.
you know, which also can tell us something, to watch some of those competitions of the different sheepdogs that mm-hmm. that can shepherd or actually corral
right.
the sheep into a pen. It really shows how sheep follow mm-hmm. almost blindly, or they by instinct they're looking for someone to guide them and to follow to lead them. And it's for that, of course. It's for that reason that Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. But if you happen to be in parts of the world where there still are shepherds, you can and see the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating, it's a beautiful image. Having lived in Italy for a long time and just riding on a train mm-hmm. into certain parts of the country, you see shepherds just kind of perched on the side of a hill and watching the sheep. I mean, hours and hours and hours just sitting there and watching his sheep. And then, you know, when it's time to go, you can find them with their pastoral staff, which mm-hmm. the bishop, of course, carries mm-hmm. as the good shepherd of the diocese. That staff means he's the one who shepherds the sheep. But shepherding them where they're so aware of who that shepherd is, that is mm-hmm. their good shepherd. Of course, sheep don't have the rational
right.
thought process to know that, but certainly it's instinctual to mm-hmm. see this is our shepherd, and they follow
mm-hmm.
In their case blindly. I mean, all of us certainly have responsibility for
right.
faith, but we need good shepherds who do not deceive people, but who lead them to Christ. And of course, that is what a good shepherd does. He leads them to Christ. So the image of a good shepherd, the image of a shepherd, is not something that we're so familiar with in this country. But nevertheless, when the gospel was written, it certainly had a prominent place in the culture and the society where Jesus was, and still in certain parts of the world, that shepherd, the image of the shepherd, is there.
And it's a beautiful image.
Sure.
It really
yeah.
is.
And the fact that just by voice and presence, the sheep know this is our follower, this is our shepherd.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you too, because it said that in the gospel it said he walks ahead of them, the sheep will follow because they recognize his voice,
right.
but they will not follow a stranger, they will run away from him
right.
because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Right.
Well, I mean, how much time do we have? We could talk about that forever, because the voice, of course, Jesus is also referring to his word. Mm-hmm. And for us in modern times, to be familiar with the word of God will not lead us astray. The more we're familiar with it, and the more we immerse ourselves into the truth of God's word, we'll not look for anything else. Unfortunately, one of the weaknesses of ourselves today is we look for a message that we can adapt to ourselves. In other words, that can make us comfortable.
You mean a feel-good message?
Kind of a feel-good message, yeah. Mm-hmm. We look for something that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in straits, or I'm going through a challenging time, and we all do. I mean, please, we all.
Right.
In one way or another, it's life. But we should never, ever look for a message that we adapt to ourselves and our situation. The Word of God, as the book of Hebrews says, the letter to the Hebrews says, is like a two-edged sword. It cuts and it clarifies. It brings brings comfort, but not the way we oftentimes want it. And so the voice of the Good Shepherd is a voice that is the voice of truth. It's not the voice of
trying to get you astray.
Yeah.
Negativity.
Right. Or a voice that is
contrary.
That's the easy way.
Right.
Because the easy way is oftentimes just something that is here and now. And tomorrow there's going to be another challenge. So are we going to have another voice, another easy way than tomorrow? But the voice of the shepherd is one that clarifies the person, that brings the person to the truth of who they are in front of God. And so it's something that we have to listen to all the time. It's not an on-off like a water fountain. You turn it on, turn it off. The voice of the shepherd is always there calling us to more fullness of life. In fact, at the end, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. And so we should always be careful in living our life and looking for the message, that it's the message of truth. It's the message of eternal life. It's the message of life. It's not a quick fix, easy message that we're looking for, because that's a dead end street.
I was thinking of an example of something that happened to me a couple of days ago. It was, do I get up now and go to this group that starts early, or do I just decide to sleep for a couple more hours?
Right.
And, you know, so there were two voices. There were two voices there, and I'm glad I got up early and went to the group, because it was a spiritual conversation and it was wonderful. But there was that little voice saying, no, don't do it. There are other things you need to be doing beforehand.
Yeah. I had a call late last night with a friend from a friend of mine, and I saw the caller. I thought, I don't know if, you know, I mean, I certainly don't want to. I want to talk to him, but.
But not at the late
not
hour.
Not at the late hour.
Right.
But I did. I said, you know, that voice again saying, mm-hmm. no. And then and he shared something with me, which was very helpful to me.
Right.
You know, so if you listen to that voice, it's not the voice of the easy way, but it's the voice of give your time to this mm-hmm. person now. Love this mm-hmm. person. Give your time. And as we do that and empty ourselves, we receive as well,
right.
unexpectedly, but the Lord gives back to us. So the voice of the shepherd is, of course, the scriptures, but also the voice of the Holy Spirit in us based on our rootedness in the Word of God. Then we hear the voice and we live our life challenged but full of life.
Right. It's the little voices. It's not a big proclamation voice.
Right,
it's those day-to-day things. We are going to continue our conversation about the shepherd. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
The Catholic Church offers marriage preparation classes to help couples enter into their new relationship with eyes wide open. But sometimes marriages turn sideways, and for those couples, there are marriage encounter weekends designed to help right the ship and get back to smooth sailing. For marriages in serious trouble, there's Retrovi, which translated from the French means rediscovery. Husbands and wives can rediscover why they fell in love in the first place. Since 1977, tens of thousands of couples have successfully overcome their problems and kept from becoming another broken home statistic. The next Retrovi weekend begins Friday, June 2nd, here in Corpus Christi. To learn more or to register right now, visit helpourmarriage.com or call 1-800-470-2230. It's your marriage, and you're worth it.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about Jesus being our shepherd and, of course, how a shepherd leads the sheep and they recognize his voice, and that's why they lead him. But reflecting on this particular gospel, I was reading and it said that Jesus is also the gate for the sheep. All others are up to no good. They're sheep stealers, as the lector book said. Anyone who goes through Jesus will be cared for, and they'll willingly go in and out and find pasture. But a thief will lead you astray.
Well, yes. We're getting a bit into a kind of a Christian anthropology here in the sense of who are we? You know, the life of faith and our everyday life are not two different things. It's one thing. In other words, it's who God has called us to be. We have, each one of us has been called, even here it says he calls them by name. Mm-hmm. Each one of us has been called by name, has been created by name, mm-hmm. Even though our parents gave us the name. But in other words, our person is a personal. We're each a person, and that person is in relation to the God who created us. So it's a personal relationship with God. So when Jesus presents himself as the gate, no one comes to the Father but through me. In other words, no one finds the way, but nobody finds themselves except in Christ. And this is the profound anthropology that right. We're looking at now. You know, where do we really become who we truly are? Who are we? The Vatican Council have really stressed so much that Christ reveals us to ourselves. In other words, none of us will ever find who I really am. And that's always a big question for us. Who am I? Especially in dark moments of life when the challenges happen. Who am I? Am I loved by God? Am I not loved by God? What does God want of me? Or what's my life about?
Why is this happening?
Why is this happening? And all these things, which are valid human questions, but only Christ can reveal us to ourselves. So we go back then to his voice. His voice is in his word. So the more that we assimilate in faith the word of God, we begin to echo who we are. We see ourselves. St. Clare of Assisi wrote to one of her sisters who was in Prague. Her name was Agnes, St. Agnes of Prague. As the friars kind of went east, they set up one of the first convents outside of Italy in Prague. And St. Clare, the foundress of the Poor Clares, wrote to Agnes and she told her to every morning get up and look at yourself in the mirror of the Word.
In the mirror of the Word.
In the mirror of the Word. So we look at ourselves.
In the mirror.
In the mirror, and we reflect on ourselves. Right. We become, you know, I won't say we become narcissistic, but we're seeing ourselves. But she used the image, look at yourself in the mirror of the Word, because that's who you are. In other words, if Jesus says to us, for example, that blessed are the poor in spirit, then that is a call to be poor in spirit, which means to be humble. And that's who we are, not something else. To be humble today, or blessed are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. So to be a peaceful person today, to create, to work for peace in the office, at home, etc. That's who I am. That's my true nature. And that's the gate that we have to enter into. So whether it's a mirror, it's a gate, it's a call from Christ to follow him, not just as if we're two different realities. We are. I mean, we're not Christ, but we're called to be Christ. And so it's only through adherence and assimilating, and I'm hesitating with all these words because I don't want it to make it sound like it's a servile kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not a servile, you know, God said to do it and I have to do it, kind of a resignation of self. But that's where I'll discover myself. That's my true self. And this has been brought forth to us more and more in recent times, saying that, you know, faith is not just about being a good person and waiting till the end and maybe God will reward us. Well, that's a very simplistic and a simpleton kind of way of approaching faith. Faith is something that realizes the true self, to live God's will, to listen to his word, to assimilate that, and to live it out in daily life. I become myself, who God has really meant me to be, whether I'm a bishop, whether I work in a street cleaner or, work on a farm, it doesn't matter. I mean, those things in front of God really doesn't matter much.
We're all equal.
Yes. I mean, we place so much emphasis socially on who has what or who does what. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get our status. But the fact is, I mean, even Pope Leo the Great many years ago said, Christian, recognize your dignity. That's your dignity. That's who you are. That's your true self, is the life of Christ in you. And then you do what God wants. After you find yourself in Christ, then he may ask you to do various things as a vocation. But it's not the doing side that gives meaning to our life. It's who we are. And so that gate that Jesus is talking about here is himself. I am the gate. And enter through me, and you will find life, and you'll find it abundantly, and you'll also find eternal life.
When you said that it's not the doing side, it's just
being.
Living in life. It's the being, and it's just how you are, your interaction with other people.
Right.
Should show
sure.
that.
Sure. And, I myself have been so humbled by just some, what we would call in society, I hate to even use the word, but simple people.
Mm-hmm.
They're simple by humanities or society's standards, but they're people of wisdom. And
exactly.
That's where Jesus placed a child in the midst of the gathering of people and said, unless you become like this one, you'll have no part of the kingdom of heaven. Because this one, this child, or a person who's simple, realizes two things. They realize that they are dependent on God. They're dependent on the other, and that's part of their being. And that they are also a person who's grateful. Because a sign of humility is also gratitude, that we are able to give thanks. And that is really the foundation of all of life, to know that we are people who depend on God, and that we are also people, because we depend on God, who must also be grateful. And once we can do that, we realize that we're not seeking out a message or a gospel that is an easy way or just answers my question today and then I forget about it. It's a call to a total commitment to find our true self in Christ Jesus, who reveals us to ourselves.
But of course, in our day-to-day lives, you can be a true self, but there are a lot of challenges and decisions that can be made, and you face that all the time, and leaders face
sure.
that, managers face that.
Sure.
I guess it's how we go about making those decisions, those tough decisions,
right.
and how we respect the people that
right.
we're working with.
Sure. Well, I had one just before I came to the program this morning. You know, I was asked a request, and it was a little different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I thought, first of all, what's charity? You know? But charity doesn't mean just doing whatever somebody asks or doing or responding yes, because Jesus said, say yes when you mean yes, no when you mean no. So first of all, you start with charity. What is going to be charity? And charity might mean saying no, I can't do that, or no, I can't allow that to happen. Now, how another person takes that is another situation, but it's not always just saying yes to everything.
And that's important.
That's very important. But the fact is, to enter by Christ is to enter the life of charity. That's first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to always measure it by that. Sometimes we have to correct children. For
right.
example, if you have to correct children, the parent needs the first of all, or teacher, whoever. First of all, I have to be charitable. Now, charity is going to be wishing the good of that child. Is it going to be the best for them to give in to everything? You know, I want a super bicycle,
no.
you know,
no.
12-speed, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
At that age, it's probably not. But so saying no to that exorbitant request is charity, because they realize they can't have everything,
right?
Or et cetera, whatever it is, or a punishment, they have to go to their room, or whatever we do. But it's charity. It's to discipline that person, to help that person become who they are.
It's all good things that we don't have to say yes all the time. You know,
right.
We need you said something several weeks ago that was very reflective of when we're asked something or in a situation that may be a little uncomfortable, to take a deep breath and think, what would Jesus do?
Right.
And what would Jesus say?
Right.
You know, kind of take that moment of pause.
Sure. And sometimes, you know, he had to stand up to people. He had to correct them. But sometimes he also acquiesced to their request as well.
Right.
But it was always, it's always because for him and also for us, what is charity in this situation?
Exactly. Yeah. So we have a lot to reflect on this week as we are, we listen to our shepherd and listen to that voice.
Right.
So that we're not being led astray.
So we continue also in charity to ask the Lord to continue to bless us with rain.
Bless us with rain, yes. As my mother used to say, sometimes we need a small tropical storm.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to overdo it, and then we have a hurricane this year. But anyway, we ask the Lord to supply what we need.
That's exactly right.
And he knows best.
So if you could close our session this morning, Bishop, with a prayer and a blessing for all of us.
Okay. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, give us new strength from the courage of Christ our Shepherd, and lead us to join the saints in heaven, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you to all of our listeners this Sunday morning. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and have a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.